Hello, this is Talking Europe. The EU has been caught off guard by Donald Trump's diplomatic manoeuvres, and not for the first time. Back in August, the US and Russian leaders reached an understanding in Alaska with no European or Ukrainian seat at the table. And although some EU leaders subsequently appeared to succeed in yanking Trump back to a more Ukraine and Europe-friendly position, that did not last. On November the 21st, the US unveiled a 28-point plan to end the war on terms that are seen in Kiev and in Brussels as being heavily favourable to the Kremlin. Well, since then, the contents and the number of points have been revised. So today we're going to talk about what happens next in this whole negotiation and whether Europe is being heard. Our guest today is Maxime Prévost, the Foreign Minister of Belgium and the Deputy Prime Minister of that country. The Kingdom of Belgium is a crucial player, holding the majority of Russian frozen assets in a securities depository called Euroclear. Well, Maxime Prévost joins me from Brussels. Foreign Minister, welcome to the programme. The EU, it seems, is once again reacting to events, coming up with this counter-proposal to the Trump plan, rather than leading with its own proposal. Why do you think it's been sort of behind? Because, I mean, Trump has been in office for nearly a year now.
Frankly speaking, it was already the case, unfortunately, with the Gaza situation. And once again, we are still reacting at the US initiative instead of taking the lead for finding a solution for a just and lasting peace in Ukraine, even if it is within the European continent. So we have the impression that the US choose the restaurant, the menu, but the bill has been paid by the European. We commend, as Belgium, of course, the initiative taken by the US in order to find a solution and to reach an agreement for a ceasefire and maybe for a peace process. But in the same time, we also need to be sure that both Ukraine and the EU are around the table and not alongside. We need to find a solution for Ukraine with the Ukrainian authorities, but also with the European authorities. That's really important.
When you talk about the EU paying the bill, I guess part of that is, of course, this whole question of security guarantees. But actually, in the original Trump document, European reassurance forces in Ukraine are not even mentioned. Is that idea still being actively discussed? Because, of course, in this coalition of the willing format, it's been quite hard to make progress on that issue of troops on the ground somewhere in Ukraine.
Belgium has already mentioned a couple of months ago that we were ready to take part at any coalition of the willing in order to provide with some military support, any kind of forces in order to, in Ukraine at the border, guarantee that they will not have any further risk for the Ukrainian people. We still need to define which kind of support, with, for instance, with jet fighters or for the mining process. But we are ready to take part on this coalition of the willing. But we also know that one of the key issues is also how to provide quickly financial support to Ukraine.
Yeah, I was going to come on to Deputy Prime Minister, because I just wanted to quickly remind our viewers as well that Euroclear, the securities depository based in Belgium, holds around 193 billion euros in Russian assets that were frozen at the start of the war in 2022. And the EU Commission now says that in the light of the latest US moves, it's even more urgent to channel the profits from those assets into a loan for Ukraine. So clearly the Commission is putting pressure on Belgium. What is your response to that pressure?
Of course, we recognize that there is a kind of urgency for providing financial support to Ukraine, and it is why we consider that the best option to do this is clearly to have a classical European loan Based on the guarantee provided by the European Commission itself, more than other options, for instance, any kind of confiscation of the sovereign assets of the Russian authorities based in Brussels and other countries. We do not only need a coalition of the willing. We definitely need also a coalition of the billing. And it's why Belgium explained that it is totally unacceptable to confiscate such amount, such sovereign assets, only based on a political decision with no judicial decision. It could be a dangerous precedent with high legal, financial and systemic risk for all of us in Europe, with maybe negative effects for the euro and the eurozone as a whole. We absolutely need to have another option on the table.
And just to be clear, if I understand you correctly, so the Euroclear frozen assets should not be touched at all, and instead there should be a loan using some kind of joint debt mechanism, but not using the Euroclear fund. Is that right?
Exactly. We consider that it is a better choice to and better option to maintain them frozen and to use classical loan processes for providing Ukraine with the needed financial support.
Of course, the whole issue of frozen assets is linked to Belgium's own economic position. You've been considered to be one of the bad pupils of the eurozone, if I may say, with a projected budget deficit of 5.5% of GDP next year. But now you have just agreed on a new federal budget. So is that going to be your way out of this situation, do you think?
We had a too high, and we'll still have a too high deficit, a too high debt rate, but it's mainly internal debt, so it's less concerning. But our deficit is important. It's why the current government has decided to take new reforms, new decision, maybe unpopular decision, but they are really needed in order to put Belgium on the right way for a better budgetary situation. We've decided this year around 32 billions of reform in order to have a kind of cleaning up process of our budget. So we really would like to become in the future a reliable partner in the Eurozone.
You've just come back from an EU-Africa summit, Maxime Prévost, in Angola. And I want us to take a quick listen to António Costa, the EU Council President, speaking about what kind of new relationship the EU wants to have with the African continent. Let's take a look.
The investments we have been making, based on the Global Gateway Initiative, will be essential to ensuring that this partnership is developed on a basis of mutual interest and not in an exploitative logic, as occurred in the previous century.
So, Maxime Prévost, he's talking there about not using an exploitative logic, as was the case in the past. I guess this is a reference to all the critical minerals and materials that the EU needs for its energy transition, for its electronic goods and so on. How do you think you're going to get these materials from Africa and not exploit local communities? That's the kind of the challenge, isn't it?
It is, and you know that Belgium is involved in the African continent for a long time, not only for historical reason, but also by conviction. We consider that the African continent will face an economic development which is really impressive in the coming decades, with also a demographic boom. That means that will have some consequence also on migration flux, for instance. But we have common challenges related to the climate change, to the prosperity, of course, to health issues and security matters. So it means that we need, between the European countries and the African ones, to rebuild a new link of trust, new ties based on confidence, and not having any attitude which will vampired the resources of the African countries.
When you talk about trust, Maxime Prévost, does that mean that the EU needs to get more involved in to sort of regulate some of the conflicts that are happening in Africa? Because, as you know, the UN has recently decried horrific massacres, as it said, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and, of course, the murder of civilians in northern Darfur in Sudan as well. Are African countries expecting more from the EU on that whole dimension?
Definitely, the EU must be more involved in Africa, not only for economic reasons, but also, as you mentioned, also for being a constant defender on some key values related, for instance, to international law and human rights. And we must be more involved trying to resolve those conflicts. Otherwise, we will have the US that will once again take the lead, and the EU will be only at the backstage, let's say. It's really important for the credibility of the foreign and security policy of the EU for paying more attention to those conflict zones and trying to find humanitarian solution. We have seen with the Gaza issue that the EU was not capable to take strong position due to the fact that there are no possibility to have unanimity within the 27 countries. But we absolutely need to avoid to copy-paste such attitude in other parts of the world, and certainly not in Africa.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time today, Maxime Prévost, Foreign Minister of Belgium and Deputy Prime Minister of that country. Thanks for watching us here on Talking Europe.